you know, truth be told, like I had to come to Christ to get even the slightest inkling of maybe there's something I can express about my testimony through music. You know, I broke my nose pole vaulting my senior year of high school. I was stuck at home. I was in a whole new area. It wasn't until I went to this camp that they said, anybody has a talent, get up, you can do it. And I didn't have anything I could do in front of people outside of this verse that I wrote. I had no beat. I had everybody clap to make the tempo. Like, and again, this is all part of that, like, it appeals to the young male heart, but it appeals to someone that feels like they have nothing.
What's up, my friend? Welcome to Breathing Fire, the official podcast of Beast Life Brand, a new breed of powerful believers repping the Lion of Judah. Christ lived the original beast life, and now it's our turn. We must warn you, though, it's not for the weak. It's for the hardcore.
Hardcore.
Our MO is to equip people of faith and kingdom entrepreneurs to live powerful and represent. God did not create you to live small. He gave you raw talents to develop and use. It's time to find more purpose, live with passion, and lead with impact. Your host is Fired Up Phil. We despise religion and lukewarm living. We're fired up and building our kingdom. Please connect with us across social media at Beast Life Brand. And now, get ready to have some fun and break some chains with this episode of Breathing Fire.
Hey there, buddy. How are you? Let me pop this volume up. Can you hear me all right?
Absolutely.
Cool. So what's up, man?
Yeah, God's praying for a miracle. Back against the wall with nowhere to go. About to lose it all, but I didn't know. Where you going? Where you going? I was praying for a miracle. Against the wall with nowhere to go. About to lose it all, but I didn't know. Where you going?
Day off, which is never a day off. I'm just catching up on all the things I didn't do on other days.
Okay.
So in this case, I'm about 80% done with all my Kickstarter orders. Last little bit, it's obviously it's more the tedious stuff. It's like the art pieces. It's the handwritten lyrics. It's the guest features, you know, the stuff that actually uses my brain thought process, which by the time I hit my off day, I'm like, don't have anything left.
Yeah, you're depleted a little bit with energy and stuff. I feel you, man. You got to take that day off, though, a little bit and use it for a little restoring and stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I'm off Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay.
So generally, I'll take Saturday as like a family day. Friday is like my only day that I'm like, you know, house is quiet for at least a couple of hours, but
it's like my morning kid, time, right?
Yeah, my kid's off for spring break starting next week, so he's like, can I just skip today, Dad? I'm like, no, get out of the house.
How many kids you got again? I forgot. Two? Three?
I got three boys. Yep.
Three boys. Nice. Cool. I got two. It's such a blessing. I mean, being a father, it's a tough job, right? But I mean, it's rewarding and it definitely helps us build character and work on refining ourselves, because obviously we're the example for our kids. So we can't front. There's no faking the, you know, parenting. No. So
very true. I'm actually reading a book right now on recommendation by our chief of staff called Father by God.
Okay.
And kind of explores some of those concepts, and especially for, you know, men that grew up maybe with or without a great father figure.
Sure.
It's just been really good. I'm only a couple of chapters deep, but, you know, I'm trying to replace any Hulu Netflix time with a book time.
Yeah, stuff to feed you, right? Instead of, you know, just wasting time.
Absolutely.
So, hey, man, I do appreciate you coming on for the interview and stuff like that. I figured that we could use the time to, you know, kind of chop it up, get to know one another a little bit, ask some questions, help everybody understand who you are. And for those that don't know you, kind of what you have going on with your project and stuff. So Maybe we could just spark it with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the interview. All right.
Yep.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you so much for this time that I get to kind of chop it up with Jonah, get to know him a little bit. Lord, we're two grown men that have a lot of wisdom inside of us. And Lord, we just hope that through this conversation, maybe we can spit a little bit of wisdom that might provide some insight for some other people who maybe don't know you, maybe don't know what we have going on and stuff. Lord, we just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and guide the conversation. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So I got my name. I have a tag name. I was just talking about this the other day. So I'm Fired Up Phil, right? So that came from Psalm, right? He makes his ministers as a flame of fire, right? And that means a lot to me because minister is somebody who serves, right? And fire is so powerful because the Bible talks about fire as being obviously powerful, as refinement. And it to me, it's about never losing your passion, which I think we're going to talk about in a little bit here, because you came out with a new album and I see the fire in you. I see the passion in you. So I'm going to bring that out in this conversation a little bit. But before I do that, help everybody. So your name is Jonah, right? I did watch your Netflix thing or Amazon. I think I got it on Amazon. Okay. I'm not sure where. Yep. But so your name is Jonah. I always refer to you as KJ52. And then I found out that your name was Jonah. So I was like, well, the J must stand for Jonah, but why don't you tell us, where'd you get your tag name from? What does it mean?
Man, I'll be honest with you, man. Like at the time, it just sounded cool. Like there wasn't, I wish I had some great story behind that. It was interesting that years later, I did find this drawing I had done when I was really young, because I used to sketch and draw. And for some reason, I had put 52 on a boat that I had drawn. And of all the numbers, why would I pick that, right? And I realized almost the way I had drawn it is it's an inverse, the 5 and the 2, if you do it a certain way, they're inverse of each other. So for me, I think subconsciously it was a balanced look. When I picked that, I don't think I had anything in mind outside of just like my old rap name was not cutting it. You know what I mean? So, you know, a couple years later, I'm looking at scripture, I'm looking at verses, I'm looking at numbers and symbolism and things like that. And I just came across the same story I'd read over and over and over, Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, the multiplication of what he does. And I thought there's a lot of symbolism in this. I felt like in the story, I was the boy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really where it just came from. And that's what I ran with, you know what I mean? But, you know, as they say, all things seem like a great idea when you're 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and now I don't think I've gotten this hung up on names or what people call me or what people know me by. I think I've realized that we all kind of relate to people in different ways. So for me, you know, to some people I'm KJ, to some people I'm Jonah, to some people I'm Pastor Jonah, to some people I'm KJ52. Yeah. Some people, you know, it is what it is. And but I'm certainly proud of anything the music might have done.
We have this thing that we this business and everything that we do, and we use the verse from Revelation 1:6. It's about building and creating kings, right? So I'm gonna call you King Jonah for KJ. How about that one?
Right. Well, that was my first rap name. My first rap name was King J Mack, right? And I think that king aspect resonated.
I like that because you know, come on, we're all gonna be wearing crowns, so. Anyway, so you know what's cool about you? I'm old school. I think we're kind of on the same age, which I won't mention.
you can mention it. It's on my Wikipedia.
We're fired up in 40. Fired up in 40.
That's it.
But we're from the old school hip hop days where it was about music, it was about breakdancing, it was about tagging. And you had mentioned, so you have a little bit of graffiti in you too. I saw one of your posts.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, I grew up in an art studio. You know, my parents met at art college in the 70s. So I was always surrounded by art. I mean, we literally in a studio. We lived upstairs. My dad's storefront was the front of the studio. You know, where other kids would get in trouble for drawing on the walls, my dad was like, go ahead. You know, like it was just, you weren't just around art. You were immersed in it.
Yeah.
But like anything, there's probably some rebelliousness amongst, you know, kids. It's just hard to rebel when your parents are super liberal, hippie, whatever you want, son, go ahead and do it. Yeah. So I think hip hop sort of recontextualized what art could be for me, because I always wanted to be a cartoonist as a kid.
Nice.
but it's not like there was a graffiti scene growing up in Tampa in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? So anything I had to learn was like when I went to New York City with my parent or my dad, you know, like, or just studying what I saw, you know, online, you know, on album covers and stuff. Honestly, it wasn't until way later when I hit rock bottom with the music that I started messing around with stenciling. And at that point, I already kind of knew a couple homies that do, you know, Christian graffiti artist writers.
Sure.
And they just acted as mentors. You know, I mean, that's the best way I can compare it to. There's something about the can that just feels good in my hand opposed to a brush.
Yeah. It was a culture. I miss that old school culture.
But yeah, but you know what? Like anything, culture always evolves. So, sure. You know, it's crazy you're talking about this because I'm also the creative director at my church. And so we've launched a series of monthly creative nights. Okay. And, you know, I'm the director. So I'm just playing the scene. I speak the word to them. I'm letting them do the workshops.
Okay.
One of these kids came to me. He's like, "Hey, dude, I know you do stencil. I know you do graffiti art. Can you teach me?"
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to jump in these workshops. I'm like, "All right, man, let's go." And there's just something about it that appeals to the young male.
Yeah.
Thought process.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like a coded language you learn. It is a culture. It is, it predates hip hop by all means, you know. We've been marking on things for a long time.
For a long time. Yeah. I think people were bored and then they just started arts and expression, right? So you find a way to express it some way or another. And so I think that's pretty cool. But so I'll kind of let you know how I came across you. And I was like, I remember I was probably around, I don't know, 20 years old at the time. And I had had some experiences that happened in my life that had brought me to, you know, becoming spiritual, right? Getting to know God and everything like that. And I remember being so caught up in just worldly things, just your regular stuff, right? Music, everything like that. And music is so, you know, influential and powerful because it really is food for your soul in every aspect. Like it hits you at an emotional level first, and then obviously the lyrics and stuff too. But so I remember changing and I was just feeling like, I didn't want to continue to listen to all the things that I was being programmed by in my environment. And I was like, I went on this search in music. I was like, "Lord, I need some like good stuff, right? Like not, you know, corny stuff, like give me some real stuff, guys that can spit, give me some, you know, some hard metal and stuff like that, that I wanted to like replace that was more nourishing." And so I came across obviously you back then. And so I'm just thankful about that because like there's so many people that I don't think realize that, you know, how much music influences them and stuff. And I like it like this, like we obviously could look back and there's all kinds of hip hop artists from the 90s, from 2000s, from whatever. And they're really good. They're talented, right? They're awesome, like Nas or whoever. But to me, it's like, I love that music, but it's kind of junk food, right? And it's like when we teach fitness, we teach you could have a cheat day. So like, but you can't eat like garbage all week long, right? But like, I'm not dogging Nas or Wu-Tang or whoever, like they're good. But I feast on them on my cheat day, so to speak. Maybe when I'm working out here or there or whatever, right? So, I mean, what was your story? Like, how did you get introduced to hip hop? And like, what's your thoughts on all that? Like, you know, food for your soul. And
yeah, man, that's funny. So I echo a lot of the things you're saying right now. I think for me, again, art was probably my first avenue because that's, you know, where we lived, how we lived, you know, I mean, me and my dad lived in, you know, the hood. We lived in the hood. It was a bad neighborhood. But I think the reality was as a white kid there, I was sort of not in a bubble, but I didn't have any interactions with kids in the neighborhood. Sure. I was like sequestered and whatever. The point being is music always played in my house. Like my dad always painted to music. So music was like the distant cousin of the art. But I didn't have any formal music training. I didn't grow up playing an instrument. I didn't learn how to sing. I didn't, you know what I mean? And so there's something, what hip hop for me was, it was like, oh, you mean I don't have to be able to sing? I can still express myself. I don't have to know how to play an instrument. I can make a beat. Like, I don't have to just play this record. I can DJ this record. You know what I mean? Like it opened up, you know, the ability to express yourself in a very low budget way. And it's funny, like I know a lot of guys in my generation, because we didn't have access to making beats, I know multiple people, we would do things called pause tapes. Okay. And you'd find a beat that you liked on a song, or like maybe it's just a little break that was in the song, and you would grab two cassettes and you would play it, pause it, basically rewind it, play it again, pause it. Like you would do this over and over, and you would create, you know, a 2-minute loop of that. I mean, it wasn't great, but I know lots of people my age that we all did this. Like we didn't talk to each other and told each other to do it. We just somehow or another, we figured it out.
Yeah.
And those were all the things that grabbed me about hip hop. You know,
so that helped you obviously learn how to flow and stuff like that. You're taking a beat and you're obviously trying to.
Well, I didn't think there was a space for white boys to rap in hip hop. That rapped. I mean, I thought the space was DJing. So at first I was like, I'll be a DJ. And then I realized I just didn't have any hand skills. So, you know, truth be told, like I had to come to Christ to get even the slightest inkling of maybe there's something I can express about my testimony through music. You know, I broke my nose pole vaulting my senior year of high school. I was stuck at home. I was in a whole new area. It wasn't until I went to this camp that they said, anybody has a talent, get up, you can do it. And I didn't have anything I could do in front of people outside of this verse that I wrote. I had no beat. I had everybody clap to make the tempo. Like, and again, this is all part of that, like, it appeals to the young male heart, but it appeals to someone that feels like they have nothing.
Yeah.
So it was an avenue. You know, all those guys that you named, I was big fans of. I get saved, and then all of a sudden I'm like, there's something about this that's just not, it's not meshing. I went through a period of years where I wouldn't listen to secular rap.
One year ago, didn't know just what I know. Then I found a hidden road and went to place I'll never go. God was on his way, told me hold a little more. He is mighty save. I went through hell and fire, then I rose. But they told me that I'd never make it. Told me to say that I'm okay, smile, just fake it. Ain't no way that you gon' ever change it. You should just hide away, but all the time, man, you're breaking. The type of thinking is so toxic, so I fight my way out of every single spot I'm boxed in. I'm on the floor, me and God are steady talking. Told me, get up, boy, keep on walking. You ain't never lost it. And I'm reborn like a different man. Looking back, I can see he had a different plan. I can see it was all in his hands, so I keep walking now with him when I don't understand. But
well, here, how about this? The you experienced kind of the discrimination on it because you were white stepping into a scene that was primarily, you know, obviously led by people who are black and people who are Spanish and stuff. And it's hard because they look at you, right? And they're like, who's this white boy that thinks he can spit like this and stuff? And so how, I mean, adversity, like we're thankful for that adversity, right? That we experience in life because it makes you who you are, it shapes you and molds you. But like, what is it? Tell me some experience. I remember you told a story too about Wu-Tang and you opened up for them and you've experienced, you know, a bit of a struggle, obviously in that. So, and do you want to end on that at all?
Yeah, I want to proceed with caution in how I say these things because I always want to be respectful to the architects and the originators of where this music comes from. It's like it started as a black house, a black and brown house.
Sure.
And the house got opened up. Yes. Say, you can come on into this house, just respect the rules of the house. So I always want to show respect and reverence as it pertains to that. You have to understand too, is like early 90s, mid 90s. That's also the time when like 5% thought process was huge, which, you know, Nation of Islam, all of these guys, you know, the core of that is like, black man's God, white man's the devil.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're just, and then to do Christian hip hop, like on top of that.
Top of it,
the point, the point with the picture I want to paint with this is that it really forced you to one, have to be better than the average. But also like, you really want to do this? Like it made you were resolute because you knew what you were going into. So, you know, the Wu-Tang thing, I can look back on that a little bit and go, you know, I can't say we were well received by the crowd. We were just like, they didn't really know what to think about us. It was the backstage beatdown that I almost experienced.
Yeah.
I have to almost look back and go, what was the degree of me maybe crossing some lines ignorantly and not realizing it? Like, I'm not excusing, you know, 10 guys trying to jump me backstage for rapping it, rhyming in a cipher. I'm not excusing that behavior, but at the same token, it's like, yeah, man, you know, you don't poke the bear. to an extent either and not expect for it to roar. So again, all these experiences just helped shape me, and
I'm sure that was a little bit of a crossroad or a direction thing for you, right? Like you were saying, God kind of was like, hey, do you really want to do this? Where were you at your point in your career at that time when it happened? Well,
at the time, I mean, again, at the time, I was working at an inner city church as ministry coordinator. Like we were in a town called Dunbar, which is in Fort Myers, which at the time was the most segregated city in the South. So being this sort of anomaly was not new to me. You know what I mean? It's like it came with the territory. I think for me, what actually happened at another show, almost right after that Wu-Tang show, is when we opened up for Tribe Called Quest and we got booed off the stage, like stuff thrown at us. What it actually changed was my approach. My approach up to that point was like, get their respect, have dope skills, you know, like wow them with me, with the hopes that then I can insert some Jesus into it. And I realized that's why I kept failing, is because my approach mentality was wrong. Meaning it's always better to be booed for being a believer in Christ than to be booed for your lack of melanin. That was my changing point.
Because
once I changed that, we didn't have that happen anymore.
Yeah. You know what? It's almost like when you put God first, right? And then you like, it's basically you put it on his shoulders. Hey, I'm glorifying you. I'm putting you first. I'm not trying to just showcase my skills and earn respect. I'm gonna put you on a pedestal and just see what happens with it. And that's pretty dope. I'm not gonna lie.
I think my intentions were pure. I think my heart was pure. It's just youthful ignorance is all I can chalk it up to. So
I feel you. So, okay, that's cool, man. So now you are, okay, so you had an album, Victory Lap, right? Which was supposed to be the last one, right? Because hence Victory Lap, is that correct or no?
Well, and maybe this got lost in translation and I'll take the blame for that. I always maintained that I would continue the music.
Okay.
I felt that it was time to retire KJ52 as a entity, right? And that's essentially what I did. I haven't traveled, I haven't toured, you know, I didn't release anything for a year plus. But I get how it sounds, you know what I mean? So and the real reality is, I'll be honest, man, I was out of gas. Like I was out of inspiration, I was bitter, I was depressed, I was wondering where I was gonna go. Like this all happened before all the other stuff happened. Like this was a choice before I got the church job. This was a choice before, you know, I made that jump.
Okay.
So it was a leap of faith, you know?
Okay. So making a new album was big. That's why, I mean, your new album is fire. It's polished. I listened to it. Very impressed with it, which we'll get into. So you were at a point in your life. I don't know if you want to touch on that. Like what does 1 year ago mean to you today? Can you help everybody understand what the album cover and like, what was the purpose behind this album? Share a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a really cathartic moment around October of 2019. And for me, North Michigan has always represented a very kind of special place in my life, specifically this island out in the middle of a lake in North Michigan. It's where God started working in my life. It's where some of the best, worst childhood memories of my life are. It was where I would escape, you know, almost every summer. So my purpose of going there, I went there by myself in the middle of October in Michigan, which is not a great idea, was to go back to that place and stay in a cabin for 2 days and really write my goodbye letter, which was, you know, Victory Lap, the book.
Okay.
What happened in the process of that was closer to Jacob wrestling with the angel. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like I still remember to this day, that night, the first night, you know, I couldn't write anything. I couldn't think of anything. The weather was getting terrible. It was freezing cold. It was raining. I couldn't get the heat on. And it wasn't just physically, it was spiritually. And it was like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 a.m. I can't sleep. And I'm just mad at God. And what God really did was he put his finger on the problem in the first place, which was saying, you're upset, not because of me, and what I'm doing, you're upset because the thing that you hold so dear is it feels like it's slipping away, which shows, is it about the creator or is it about the creation?
Wow, powerful.
And I woke up the next day. I happened to just think about Jacob, wrestling with the angel, and the angel saying, "What's your name?" He's like, "My name is," you know, he won't admit that his name is Jacob, which is deceiver. He's like, "From now on, you'll be called Israel." I felt like what God was saying is, let this part of it go, and I'll give you a new thing. You know, put me. So 1 year ago, that's when it happened. So as this was happening, the time's coming back around. I'm like, man, where was I at a year ago? Like, I'm in such a better space. I actually avoided what would have been a huge disaster, which was, had I stayed in the music industry, 3 months later, it's gone. Like, I got out at the perfect time, right? That's where all that came from. So everything that's on that record is written from a year ago. Like, it's everything that I was experiencing through the year, as we all kind of did. And I just started writing. That's where my new inspiration came from. I was like, I'm going to write about what I see is happening racially in America. I'm going to write about the fact that I need to have faith, not fear. I need to write about the fact that I'm going to count blessings, not problems.
Sure. And so you came to that conclusion, and I don't feel too bad from you, because I live in New York, so I'm always freezing. But you were in Michigan, and you get this revelation, like, hey, basically put God first, right? Put me first, and then the rest will follow. Yeah. And so if I'm understanding correctly, and then what I just kind of found so inspiring about that story right there, and actually like awe, like the fear of the Lord, awe, like, and that's what I love when you're living that adventure, when you're walking with God and you have those encounters, like he took you, and you had no clue. None of us had any clue that this pandemic was around the corner. So you said something that I just find, you know, awe. You have to be in awe when you look at the way that God works and say, so you put God first, you made that choice at that moment to make that decision. And then all of a sudden, that's when you got the other job, right? And stuff, and he helped provide for you financially. And then you obviously now, as the pandemic is hopefully coming to a conclusion here, because I can't wait to fellowship and be able to go to shows again and stuff and games. And but anyway, so then you have this album that you came out with 1 year ago today, and you basically wrote it. And I do think it is completely polished. It's fire. I've listened to your stuff since, Seventh Ave was the first one that I caught.
Wow.
I did not. Was the songs that Intellect was before that, where you were doing something. You had a duel. You had another partner. What's his name? I forgot.
Golden Child.
Right. My favorite song off of some of your old school stuff, and I still rock this on Spotify, is Jesus, You Are My Sunshine, right?
Wow.
it's such a happy song. Like, I enjoy it. It's like one of the things that puts me in a good mood, you know? So your new CD, I listened to it. It's polished. It's very clean. I like the collaborations and stuff that you got going on. Are there any particular songs that you want to just let some people know about that they might want to check out, and like what any meanings behind them that maybe you want to share?
You know, it's funny. The songs that I tend to be like a little more gravitate to, or not tend to be like the songs that everyone else gravitates to, but I guess that's probably either my MC side or like my artistic side. I think Blessings Over Problems for me resonates mainly because it just felt good to bar up again. Sure. You know, I always collect. I'm just always been drawn to the fan that, to the aspect of hip hop that you can use the English language to turn a phrase on its head, or just to say something in a new way that's fresh and exciting. Sure. That one and the song Rise both resonate with me because even how Rise came about. A lot of, you know, the original idea behind this record was collaborations part two. It was going to be a record of collaborations.
Okay.
That's why there's so many guest features, but it just didn't feel right at the end of the day. Rise was done. It was the girl that's on that song was she goes to my church, or I haven't seen her in a while, but she her family's from Africa.
Okay.
She kind of felt like the church as a whole was not addressing some of the issues happening for Black and Brown people. She had seen a post I had done and reached out to me.
Okay.
And we had just some great conversations. Well, I do a contest at the time. She wins the contest to be on the song.
Okay.
Ends up being on the song, which was just a verse.
Right.
It was like I had to say something, but I didn't have the hook. She wanted to say something, but she didn't have the verse. The song came together. I don't know. Like, I just feel like you can't divorce the people from the music. Okay. The minute we do that, I think we lose something in the culture. So those two songs resonate with me. I mean, of course, 1 year ago resonates with me because even the way that song came about was like, you know, you look and you go, you see God's hand in something. Those three, you know, really resonate with me. I mean, even the song I did with Solo and Teron from Grits resonates with me because that verse from that song was all built around Solo's verse. Okay. Solo passing away this year. I've had that verse for 15 years.
Wow. Wow.
Just the fact that he was like speaking into things that were happening.
Yeah.
You know, and then like speaking from the grave, so to speak, you know, that one really hits me. Celebration of Life hits me because I lost, you know, not, I lost some good friends this year, but I wrote that for my hype man's wife who passed away tragically just a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. I'm naming like half the songs on the album. Born Day.
You're fired up about it.
Well, I wrote Born Day on my Born Day. Like everything you hear in that verse is how it actually happened. Like that's what I wrote the day I woke up on my 45th birthday.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know. I
love it. I'm definitely going to obviously we'll talk about where they can find it and stuff in a minute. But some of the things you just said, I think I just found kind of ministered to me. Like, it just made me start thinking about like legacy and stuff like that. Like you had mentioned, obviously people passing and stuff. And like, so I was going to ask you, like, what is one of the things that you love about making music? Before you answer that, I just wanted to kind of, you know, insert something with like, It's always amazing to me when you can be a creator and you can create something that can live past you, right? That you can leave a legacy that speaks something not only about yourself, but then also glorifies God in the process, right? Long after you're gone. And I think music is just so powerful in that you can do that, you know, and you can have that impact on people and still share the love of Christ or other things, like, you know. And just to kind of like converse here about hip hop a little bit, and especially with Christian artists, I sometimes feel like they try to force things, like, you know, they're always trying to force Jesus or whatever, you know. But just be you, man. Like as long as your music is positive or your music is about a hurt, it could be about whatever. It's an expression. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, about Christ where you're always trying to force something in there. And I just heard, are you familiar with Corey Redd and Precise?
Of course.
So absolutely. He was talking about that and I had sent him a message and stuff, but you know, he was on that same tone. It was just like, hey man, if you're just you, right, and you just express who you are, then that's when the greatest songs are made. And when you try to force things, I feel like it's like, it's never as genuine and it doesn't hit the soul as hard, you know? So.
Yeah. The problem is most of the time you're hearing people work out their understanding of themselves in real time. So.
Okay.
I went through that phase where it was about a persona, or I was really just imitating what I liked.
Sure. What you were hearing.
The turning point for me was like collaborations album when I was like, oh wait, I'm gonna just show you all aspects of my personality. And that's actually when I started to find a bigger level of success. But you're right, it's problematic. We shove it in there because we don't know any better.
You don't need to please everybody. You just need to connect with those people who are cool with you. You're a white Christian hip hop artist, you know what I'm saying? And there's going to be plenty of people that receive that. And that's what's up.
Yeah.
When you got to get to a point to choose. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it. No, I was just saying you have to get to a point where you're actually secure in that. And some people never make it there, unfortunately. Yeah.
100%. And I think that when you don't do that, then you're never fully going to live in your blessings and you're never going to fully live in the, you know, the divine plan that God has for you, because he created you to be you. If you're trying to front, if you're trying to be, you know, fake, and I get it, but you're right. It comes to a point where at some point you get that confidence in who you are and you just don't care what other people think and you're just going to be yourself, and that's that. And then God can use you in a mighty way. So I think that's cool. Okay. So if on that note, as we wrap things up here, so any of the young guns out there who are, you know, trying to make music and stuff like that, We just kind of touched on probably some good advice on there, but is there anything that you would like to say to them that are trying to make some music, that maybe some advice that could help them?
Yeah, well, obviously things change over time. So, you know, what applied to me when I started is different probably than now. We live in a very disposable society where music is probably one of the most disposable things that we have out there, which I don't know if the younger generation even cares because they don't know any better. I think it's what we just said. I think ultimately what music is a conversation. It is a conversation between yourself and the listener. So you have to look and go, how often do I conversate? What am I saying when I conversate? What can I say in my conversation that, you know, resounds with the listener? The best people that know how to communicate, like, understand the who, when, where, and why of all that. You know what I'm saying? Sure. But the funny thing is, you know, and this is scriptural, it's like out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Sure.
As you work on yourself, as you let God work on you, you're going to find that people will just tend to be gravitated to that. They're going to want what you have. So, you know, I was taught a long time ago, the process of creativity.
Yeah.
Which the process of creativity generally goes emulation. It goes inspiration, emulation, creation, then origination.
Okay.
And it's different levels. So, you know, usually we're just inspired by something. Oh, I love hip hop. I love the way this guy raps. I'm inspired by that. So now I want to try and do the same. But then we move to emulation, which generally is just copying.
Kind of what we were talking about.
What we're inspired by.
Your own shoes, right?
Some people never move past the emulation stage, right?
Yeah.
And then generally they don't, it's just the music never really grows. If you can move past the emulation state, you then move into the creation state, which is now you're creating stuff that you obviously have, you know, you can go, oh, I know you like that guy. That's your inspiration, but I can hear something new in what you do. If you're willing to even move past just the creation stage, you can get to the origination stage, right? So that's where now you are doing something that is original,
right?
That then people want to come along and start the process on you.
Right.
They now want to be inspired by you and then emulate you. So
that's good.
I would encourage most artists to look and go, what stage am I at?
Yeah, that's
good. How can I move to the next?
Sure, a little self-assessment and then kind of set the vision there to get to that final stage where you're obviously the creator, because we were created in the image and likeness of God, and God is the ultimate creator and he expects us to be the creator as well. So we don't want to be stuck emulating, right? We need to unleash our power, the power that God created inside of us. So I like that. That was excellent advice, man. I really did like that. I think that a lot of people get a lot of good out of that. I thank you for your time and everything on here as we wrap this up.
You
know, I was gonna joke with you and say, hey, because I was just thinking about this earlier. I was like, the last album, I said, maybe KJ's having a midlife crisis like me. Or
absolutely. I'll be honest, it's hard for me to listen to Victory Lap because there is such a bitter tone to it.
Yeah.
At least for me. It's like looking back on like a sucky time in your life and being like, well, I needed that. I don't want to go back to that. And then there's songs on that record that, you know, they're old verses. They're old verses because I was just out of inspiration. Like, I wasn't in a space of like,
creation.
Wasn't in a good space. Yeah. I did capture that space. Some people need to hear that are in there too. I just don't like to stay in that space. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. I my midlife crisis was like, you know, some people, they go out. I didn't buy a sports car. So I didn't go try to find, you know, young women or go crazy with my midlife crisis. I started to get convicted. And like my midlife crisis was straight up like, I haven't done enough for the kingdom. I haven't done enough in service. Like, and so that for me was, that's my midlife crisis. So I was like, you know what? I need to step it up. I need to kick my game up. I need to increase my fire, fan that bad boy. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess it's not a bad midlife crisis.
No, it's not. I mean, you got to think, most cultures, we would have been dead by now. You know what I'm saying? So like the beauty of it is like, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, a guy that I grew up listening to that I've loved is, you know, his music back in the day was a guy, MC Search from Third Base. Yeah. And he just talked about these different phases of your life. And he said in your 40s, I think he said like in your 30s, you want to earn, but in your 40s, you want to churn.
There you go.
You know, like he was like saying, you can now move into your 40s. You start to take everything that you've earned and like, you know, start to invest in other people. It's funny even what you're saying. Like I have to leave my creative meeting in a couple of days and I'm thinking of like, oh man, I'm not even like creating anymore. I'm helping other creatives. Like this is
so you're a natural progression. Right. Now you're mentoring and duplicating, which is awesome.
Yeah, man.
So if people want to, obviously they want to learn more about you. They want to pick up some music. They want to maybe even get off a little bit of junk food, right? Get a little bit more nutritious food inside of them. Especially if they're soul searching, spiritual music stuff. So they can go to what, KJ52.com. Talk to me.
Well, if they go to oneyearago.com with the number one, they will actually redirect you to my store. But a really easy way to find that is www.kj52.com/store. That has most of my music. That since I've gone onto the independent side, you can go there. So actually, just do the direct kj52.com/store, and they can go right there.
Yeah, we'll try to put whatever references and stuff in the comments wherever we post this and whatnot. We'll sign off here. I mean, my name is once again Fired Up Phil. We have a brand, Beast Life Brand. I'm actually going to send you a box, so I'll message you after for an address. I got some gear for you and some cool stuff. But it's been a pleasure, you know, interviewing you, to know you. I really do appreciate your time. I think that we got some pretty good nuggets out there. I think it was a good conversation. Absolutely. We'll get some good stuff out of it. I wish you the best, bro, with everything on the new album. Hope you know, kill it with some good tours and whatever you got going on when this pandemic breaks. Like to get out there to be able to see you and stuff, maybe even have you over our way, which I'll be in the process of talking about. But is there anything that you want to share with anyone before we go?
No, I just appreciate all that, man. Thanks for your kind words, and thanks for anyone that supported or will support or thinks about supporting.
Absolutely, man. Hey, have a great, blessed day, a blessed weekend, and we'll see you. All right, man. Peace out.
All right, Lions Tribe, that wraps up another episode of Breathing Fire. We truly hope you enjoyed it. If so, it would mean the world to us if you'd help us kingdom build by leaving us a great review on the platform you're listening on. Subscribe or follow the podcast and share it with friends. Thank you so much. God bless. Remember to visit us online at beastlife.com. Join our free Facebook group, The Lions Tribe, and connect with us across social at Beast Life Brand. Until next time, keep breaking chains and living powerful. Peace out.